Okay, hour number two, Halloween Eve in the year 2012. November 1st tomorrow already. Wow, we tumble headlong into the holiday season and then to the end of the year. And just like that, 2012 is gone. I'm still trying to figure out what happened to the year 2000. That allegedly came and went. I didn't notice it. It just, there was Y2K and then there was 2001, and that was it.
That was it.
Crazy stuff.
Y2K, boy.
Remember that?
That, I think, got... No. I was going to say that got even more play than the Maya death date. But I think the Maya death date was even ahead of... Oh, well, maybe not. Maybe Ty. All the dire things that were going to happen when the clock hand turned to 1 minute after midnight. Airplanes falling from the skies and computers, and that had everyone worried. Store up food, which is always a good idea for any type of emergency, but I think, what would you say? That was probably Thai, wasn't it, with the Mayan? Hard to say.
Yeah.
The web is stronger now. Internet is stronger now, of course, than it was in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So probably Maya calendar would probably have to win with the word that the world's coming to an end.
Right.
In December.
Right. I agree. That's, unfortunately for those doomsayers, not going to come to an end at all.
No.
We're going to tumble right into 2013.
No, we're going to keep going.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to look at our ghost story winners now, at which we had a raft. And I don't know how... there are so many fascinating stories out there now. It is amazing.
I wish we could give a prize to each of them. This was an extraordinary batch of stories. We've always had good ones. We've always had good ones. But I think consistently, this was really tough. This was really tough. We read them and reread them and read them again, and it was a task.
And then what happened?
Yeah, then what happened? We reached our decision, and it was hard work, and everyone should feel accomplished. Everyone should feel that they did a marvelous job. We thank everyone for entering. Shall we make our announcement now?
It's fine with me, and then we'll do some reading.
Mm-hmm. And can read without having to, as we do some years, do it at, 33 a third on a 78 or whatever,
yeah.
Which way it worked. So we sound like the chipmunks. We don't want to have to read that fast this year. Okay, we could only resolve one of our dilemmas by having a tie for third place. And third place winners, the author of Demon Cat and Unwelcome House Guest, third position. Second position, Amelia Will Be Staying. And first prize, Woodland Chapel Ghost Child Apparition, complete with photograph. Now, that's not a requirement, please understand, to have a photograph or artwork, but in this particular case, the individual had a photograph of the apparition accompanying it. So after much Sturm and Drang and sweat on the brow, those are our decisions.
And congratulations again to all, and thanks to all for participating, because there are so many people out there who have experienced such strange things, and we're not even getting a measurable amount of those reported to us here. And sometimes it's very hard to write about things that are so inexplicable, and most people would rather forget about them. And I think a lot of people actually do forget about them.
I think so. And then something someone says, a sound, even a odor that comes to the nostrils, brings it all back full force. And there you are, dealing with it again.
Right, right. Okay, well, what we'll do, Brad will read the first one, I'll read the second one, and then we'll split the tie for third place. Now, the interesting thing about the first place winner is that there's a photograph. There are two photographs with it, same photograph, one is enhanced. And this is quite a story. And because there is a photograph with it, it gives it an added dimension of reality and impact that otherwise, you know, we have to leave it up to the mind to try to fill it in. But we've got something to look at that is 100% real and is extraordinary.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the person didn't really realize the tradition or the legend of this cemetery until after the picture.
No, it's and that picture is unmistakable. I mean, it is what it is. It's a picture of a child or a 10, 11, 12 year old. I don't know how old. I can't tell if it's a girl with maybe a ponytail or a little boy with short hair, but it looks like the hand is up. It looks like it's perhaps wanting to tap on the window of the car. I mean, that is really wild.
Just the visceral impact of that picture. You can imagine you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you look out, and there, you know, is this child tapping on the window, and then it's gone, disappeared.
Okay.
Shall I begin?
Yeah, if you can find this, we'll go right through the break to do this, so we don't have to do our 78 RPM version.
Okay. We'll read this one then.
Woodlong
this
Chapel.
Is by, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Woodlong. Are you still having trouble hearing me?
No. Now okay. You're coming in fine.
Okay. Woodlong Chapel Ghost Child Apparition, and this was sent in by Ashley Sharon. And we thank her for that, and it's quite a story. Go ahead.
Reading now from the story. Last year, Columbus Day weekend, I was in Keene, New Hampshire for a friend's wedding. It was a beautiful weekend, and after the reception on Sunday night, my friends and I decided to go to a few haunted hotspots in Keene. Given that it's October, and a few of my friends are curious about paranormal activity, we decide to go exploring. I've also always been curious about ghosts and spirits and have had a few unexplainable encounters. However, on Sunday night, I had a spine-chilling experience in the Woodlawn Cemetery outside of the Sumner Knight Chapel. My friends and I approached the chapel and parked the car about 20 feet away. My friends decided to get out of the car to walk around and explore the graveyard. My friend Amy and I, who were in the back seat of the car, decided to roll the window down and just sit back and watch them fail at trying to experience a ghost or spiritual encounter. I gave the boys my camera to take pictures of the chapel, which was very eerie and dark. Inside the car, I had my iPhone with the window more than half of the way down. I put the flash option on and took a shot in the dark, trying to capture what the Sumner Knight Chapel looked like from inside the car. I was planning to mobile upload it later, and after I snapped the photograph, the following disturbing image is what I captured. I've also attached a copy of the photograph after having it lightened up by a professional photographer. And now we can see the image, which is looking very much exactly like, unmistakably like, a child, and I would say girl, with, as Jeff said, maybe the ponytail pulled back, holding her hand up and getting ready to tap on the window. After looking at the photograph more closely, there's no doubt in my mind that this photograph is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. After much discussion and commentary on the photograph, almost all who view it not only say that it is disturbing, but feel as though the unknown figure looks as if it is knocking on the vehicle. Many believe the figure to look like a small child, a little girl specifically. I decided to see what Google might come up with on the Woodlawn Cemetery and typed it into my search bar. This is what I found. Quote, Woodland Cemetery, Keene, New Hampshire, Sumner Night Chapel. The whole area near the Night Chapel is a major hotspot. The chapel itself is home to a very unhappy spirit, and its presence is almost overwhelmingly strong as you get within 15 feet of the chapel. Near the chapel is the spirit of a little girl who will sneak around and peer from behind trees at you. And on voice recorders, you can get sounds of a girl giggling. You have to go away from the chapel to encounter her. Warning, do not curse in front of the chapel. There's a spirit who will wash your mouth out with soap if you do. Several people have documented the taste of soap in their mouths, and others can smell the soap, similar to ivory bar soap, in my opinion, on the breasts of victims. Submitted by Ashley Marie Sharon. That is the story.
Now, you can all see the picture, and I think James has it set up so that if you click on the picture, it actually will enlarge, which will give you a better view of it. It's very eerie. I don't know what else to say. Again, this is called Woodlawn. Yeah, Woodlawn Chapel Ghost Child Apparition. And if I'm not mistaken, it looks like I see teeth in that picture. That is really a very difficult picture to make out, with the exception of the side of the face to our left is clearly in some kind of a light, a shadow on the right. It's about 90%, 85% shadowed. Then there's a hand up, and it appears that the hand is in a fist and looks like knuckles. But if you look at it, it almost looks like a foot. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. It looks like a forearm and a hand.
Open? The hand open and just the fingertips curled, it looks to me. And I think clearly you can
see
the hair coming down on the left side of the face, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can see a little bit of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Very eerie.
I can see the right. On our right side, I can see the eyeball. See
right.
it? See the
right.
white of the eye?
Yes.
And yet that's in the shadow. And then if you look down,
mm-hmm.
you'll see a nose. That if you look at the nose, and we could play Rorschach with this all night, the nose looks almost like it's a demonic nose, and it looks like there's a mouthful of teeth that would do well on Satan himself. I don't know. Maybe it's a very cute little kid. I don't know. But this is a weird picture.
Well, it's a very interesting picture and a very interesting story, and that took first place for the visceral impact, I think. Well, each of the stories we picked, I think, have
visceral
impact.
Of course. It's like Heinz 57 flavors. They all have a flavor. But this one is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very weird story, and the author obviously took it very seriously and wrote about it in a way that made it quite clear that this was a real event, and I don't know. This is in New Hampshire. Woodlawn Cemetery in Keene, New Hampshire, with the Sumner Knight Chapel on the grounds.
I spent a good part of a summer in Keene, New Hampshire. It is a very interesting place. The whole New Hampshire area near Keene, I think, is very interesting.
Keene.
A lot of vibes there.
Is that where the word came from, Keene?
Keene. Yeah.
Like your 48 Ford was Keene.
Yeah, it was Keene, yeah.
Well, very Keene.
Very Keene and very cool, all those things.
All right.
Shall we take, is it break time before you read the
second
one?
No, I can read the next story. That's fine.
Okay.
All right, this is a second place, Amelia. Amelia will be staying. My daughter Tasha was born a normal child in all ways. At the time of about 4, she had an imaginary friend she started to talk with in her room while she was playing. She called her friend Amelia. I knew that children would make up friends while playing. My oldest daughter would make fun of Tasha talking to Amelia. I knew it would be a phase and Amelia would be gone in time, like all imaginary friends of children do. As my oldest child went to school, Tasha and I would be home alone. I had to keep my eye on Tasha at only 4 years of age, as she was into just about everything. We enjoyed hanging clothes outside on sunny days. One sunny day, Tasha was watching cartoons on TV, and I decided to hang the clothes with her out back. She had a favorite chair by the TV. We went out to hang the clothing and returned back down the hall to the living room. When we came closer to the television, I could see a child sitting in the chair at a side angle. I thought one of the neighbor kids had come in the front door and took a seat to watch the show, since the kids did come and visit sometimes. When we got closer, I froze and dropped my laundry basket. The child in the chair had no legs sticking out from the chair in front. She turned slowly, but I never saw her face, only her hair was moving. And then she kind of disappeared like steam from a pot. Tasha said, "Did you see her, Mom?" "Yes, I did," I exclaimed, quite frightened. "That's Amelia," Tasha said. I was really afraid for myself and Tasha, too. If Amelia was a ghost or evil spirit, I had seen and read enough to know this wasn't going to be the end, and it wasn't going to end well. Later that day, I told Tasha that Amelia had to go into the light, or someplace away from us. I was thinking about this for quite some time. She said she would tell her to do just that. I hoped that thing, that ghost, would be gone. The next day I was feeling better, thinking maybe I really didn't see anything at all, just nerves or a glass of bad milk. I was grabbing at straws. At about noon, Tasha was playing up in her room, and I called her for lunch. She was eating her sandwich and we were talking. I was hoping to forget about yesterday. Tasha stopped my thoughts when she said that she told Amelia she had to go away. Shaking, I asked, "What did she answer?" Tasha said, "Amelia will be staying, and she came from the light, Mom." I couldn't speak for fear. Days, months, and years have gone by, and now it's 6 years later, and I never saw the phantom of Amelia again. Tasha slowly stopped talking to Amelia. I think her classmates and society finally got rid of Amelia, at least out in the open. Tasha has the strangest ability to stay away from life's little bumps in the road. Could it be that Amelia is still near to her? Tasha is growing up fine with no mental or social problems, but me, I know what I saw, and it still makes my hair stand on end. submitted by Tracy. Thank you for that, Tracy. That's a very eerie story, and probably one that occurs more often than people will ever admit.
And makes lots of people's hair stand on end.
I've always wondered about children with their imaginary playmates.
Mm-hmm.
That's been one that has always caught my attention. Always.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Did your kids, any of them, have imaginary playmates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I think of a friend of mine who was a professional soldier, was special ops, and his son grew up to be a Marine and was in Bush's color guard, actually. But he had, I can remember how stubbornly he held on to his imaginary friend.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he just wouldn't let him go.
He wouldn't. A lot of people don't. I don't. I know what you mean. They don't want to let him go. Okay, hang on just a second and we'll be right back and read some more of our wonderful ghost story submissions. Okay, and we are back. I'm trying to find something here. Let me see if I can find it. I just saw it. I'll find it. All right, next up is our next ghost story. Demon Cat. Now, this is one that is rather short. It's rather terse. It's rather scary. And, I can't wait to hear it. I read it, and I want to hear it again, so please.
Here we go. Reading now from Kathy's account. The year was 1980. My husband and I had moved into our first home. It was not the home of my dreams, but it was affordable and nicer than most of the homes in our price range. The previous owners were in financial trouble and let the house go pretty cheap compared to other homes in the area. I loved the neighborhood. We made a lot of friends there. The house itself was kind of dark. Dark paneling in the living room, dark colors throughout. We did a lot of painting and remodeling. The first couple of years were great. Nothing out of the ordinary, and then things started to change. I remember running the vacuum cleaner in the upstairs hallway. There was a door to an attic crawl space above the stairs. The door suddenly flew open. I screamed and literally ran out of the house. I went to my neighbor's house because I really believed something or someone was in the house. My neighbor had to come back with me. The door was still open, but there was nothing out of the ordinary in the house. My cat would go downstairs. The house was a tri-level. Would go down to the lower level and just yowl. It was a creepy-sounding meow, and it was ear-piercing. She just started doing this one day, and it was always in the same corner where she would stand and yowl. I was sound asleep one night and was awakened by my husband choking me. I started fighting him off, and he finally let me go. I was screaming at him, and he jumped out of bed, turned on the light, and was running around the room, looking under the bed, in the closet, behind the dressers. I literally thought he had lost his mind. He kept saying, "Where is it? Where is it?" I'm screaming, "Where's what? What? Are you crazy?" He finally calmed down enough to tell me his story. He woke up in the middle of the night to see a large gray cat attacking me. In his mind, he grabbed the cat and was pulling it off me, where in reality he had me by the neck. I was very shaken and crying. I went into the bathroom to put water in my face when I realized my chest was burning. I opened my nightgown to find bleeding scratch marks on my chest. We both checked the whole house and only found my two cats who were sleeping downstairs. My husband swore the cat was much bigger that attacked me, much bigger than our cats, and was gray in color. One of our cats was solid black, and the other was a brown tabby. I've always wondered what actually attacked me that night. Thankfully, there was never a recurrence with the demon cat. Submitted by Kathy.
Very good. Very good. Very scary.
Good story.
I don't know what to make of it.
When we complete our reading, I have a number of comments to make about the entries, and I'm certain you do too, Jeff.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the other story that tied for third, and again, these are very difficult choices to make. We don't want to overstate that. Or is it understate? Anyway, we want to make sure you understand. It wasn't easy. Unwelcome house guest. A few weeks ago, my 9-year-old son broke the silence at the breakfast table by making the following comment. Dad, you don't have to stand by my room at night. I was a bit confused, so I asked him, what do you mean? I don't. I stopped short of saying that I don't stand outside his door because sometimes I do like to look in on him. He continued, Dad, I see you standing there. I can hear you breathing. Just because you move out of the way, I know you're still there. I was scared by my son's statements for a number of reasons. First, I never hid from him. Second, I always stood fully in the door, and he was always fast asleep. Additionally, he said he could hear me breathing. How often do you notice me? I asked with a smile. I didn't want to terrify him by explaining that I check in on him once a night and only for a moment. Come on, Dad, every night. He obviously thought I was joking around with him because he grinned from ear to ear and giggled. I'm not a little kid, Dad. I know you're there. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll stop, okay? He nodded his head in agreement and finished his breakfast. Then we got up from the table and had a great day together. I spoke with my wife about what he had said. She mentioned that he was probably dreaming. Maybe he was half awake and noticed me or something like that. We knew there were no other men in the house for him to see. Soon, the morning's events were forgotten and evening came. I had forgotten about the morning's discussion, but my wife hadn't. Mike, don't you dare freak me out or I'm going on the couch with the cats and you can stay in here by yourself. She furrowed her brow a little and waited for a reply. What do you mean? I asked. Oh, you mean the thing about him seeing a man by his room? Don't worry. I'm not doing anything except for going to sleep. I slid into bed. But I am going to stay awake for a while just to satisfy my own curiosity. I mean, I checked all the doors and windows and there's no way somebody is getting in here. No way at all. I felt my wife kick me under the covers. I'm serious. You better shut up, Mike. An hour or two later, I looked up from my book when I noticed movement in the hall. Hey, buddy, come on in, I whispered. I put down my book, smiled, and leaned forward to get a better look into the hall. What I saw wasn't my son, but looked like the right side of a man sidestepping into the darkness of the hallway. I froze for a second, squinted, and shook my head. Then very clearly came the sound of someone clearing their throat. Every one of my senses told me somebody was there. I felt the presence. What's more, the presence I felt absolutely terrified me. My wife must have felt the bed shake as I stiffened with fear. She woke and looked at me, and then toward the bedroom door. "Mike, what is it?" she whispered. Then we heard the breathing. There was no mistaking the sound. It was almost a gurgle. I looked at my wife and saw pure terror on her face. There was no reason to ask if she could hear it. The next few moments are more of a blur than an actual solid memory. I bolted out of the bed and dashed into the hall. It was empty. The only open door was to my son's room. So I took three large steps, pushed his door all the way open, and turned on the light. He was fast asleep. Nothing in the room looked out of place. So I turned off the light and stood there for a moment longer. I was tired, angry, and frankly confused. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw it. Movement. I snapped my head to the right and glimpsed the image of what I thought was a man with short brown hair and thick, dark-rimmed glasses. He was wearing a green long-sleeved shirt or sweater. Just as quickly as I saw him, he was gone. In the time it took for my eyes to fully focus, he was out of sight. Was I going nuts? I checked the entire house. Not a single thing was out of place. I didn't sleep a wink that night. In the morning, my son and I walked over to the neighbors to visit with them and their children. As the boys played, I told them about my experience. They both became visibly pale and had the following to say. "Mike, the house you live in was the first home your landlord built. He lived there with his wife while he built the rest of the homes in this subdivision. They were on their way home from a bar a few years ago when they got into a bad motorcycle accident. She wasn't wearing a helmet. When we went to see her in the hospital, we couldn't recognize her at all. She looked like a man. It was terrible. She died a few days later." "Did she have dark-rimmed glasses?" I asked. No, she didn't, but her eyes were so black and blue that it almost looked like she did. I shook my head. "Well, now what do I do? I mean, I can't just ignore what happened. I mean, my son is seeing this woman on a regular basis." "Move out, Mike. For your son's safety, you have to move." So we gave our landlord a 30-day notice on 10/11/2012. We signed the lease on a new house, effective immediately. Submitted by Mike Gonzalez. Thank you, Mike. That's quite a story.
Eerie story. It's interesting that the neighbor says, "Get out, you have to move." It leaves one wondering why he would say that. What is just his attitude toward the unknown, toward spirits, toward ghosts? Or is there something more? That just a little, kind of a little tantalizing statement it leaves you with. For your son, did he think with possession? What was there about this woman? Did she go mad toward the end of her life? It has, again, another story with a visceral punch.
And there are many others that have wonderful segments in them.
Yes, indeed.
Now, our winners get some goodies. I don't know, are there any of these other stories that you'd like to read, Brad, that were, I mean, I don't know what you call them, honorable mention, but there are a lot of them had wonderful parts to them.
They do indeed. Yeah. What if I
we
think
have
we're
time.
About coming up on a break?
No, we're all right. We'll roll right through it. Just pick another one.
All right. Okay. One that's really complete. I'll just kind of spot read this. The very first one, those old, the old haunted homes in the cemetery. Our family moved to a small, small eastern Washington community in 1989 where I took a job with the city. One of his responsibilities was the overall management of the cemetery. It dated back to 1854 and had roughly 6,300 burials. So he hires a sexton to make an effort to correlate the city records. And by the spring of 1993, he has a strong knowledge of the cemetery and its various sections. Reading again. At the time, we were living a few blocks away in one of the community's older homes. My wife and I and children possessed a great amount of anxiety and fear over what they perceived as an incessant amount of strange occurrences in this house, none of which we were able to explain. Now he, the author, is very skeptical. They had lived in homes before that had a lot of paranormal activity. So he decides to check this one out. Reading again. A number of the city staff had lived in the town all of their lives. Upon inquiry to one of my clerks, I was informed that at one time there had been a third floor on this house that had burned during the war. There had been a fatality. Consensus seemed to indicate that the casualty was a young man. This entity was very mischievous. Apparently, he enjoyed turning on water faucets, opening washing machine doors, turning off or on lights, slamming doors. Now again, our author is skeptical. But one Sunday night, reading again, I got up to visit the bathroom. The only light that was on in the house was in the hallway. When I exited the bathroom, I was quite surprised to see that the only lights that were not on were in the bedrooms. The front room, dining room, kitchen, and laundry room lights were all turned on. I decided the family was right. We needed to move. The very next morning, I was on a walk through the cemetery when I noticed a young woman in a faded dress, standing in front of a headstone in one of the older parts of the cemetery. The dress looked like an early 20th century wedding dress. I turned and walked over to where she was standing. She appeared to be in her 20s. She was slim, long brown hair and of medium height. She was looking down at the headstone with a very sad look on her face. I quickly surveyed the cemetery. There were no vehicles or other people in the cemetery. It's empty. From where I stood, I could see all of the grounds. She vanished as I approached. I noticed a man's name on the headstone. I wondered what could be happening since she probably wasn't buried there. The name on the front was that of a man, but since the stone was four-sided, I decided to check the back of it. It was the only Jewish headstone in the cemetery. It was unique in shape, and I remember it from previous trips to the cemetery. The name Emma was on the rear of the stone. She died at age 26 in the early part of that century. A daughter, maybe. A check of the city's burial records confirmed they were both buried in this grave. Sad. Nevermore, Emma Moore. Now, so that's one of the stories. He tells a number within this. Another one in which footfalls are very common in the house. Uh-huh. They moved.
Yeah.
They moved as soon as possible after the phenomena gained in velocity. So as they keep hearing footfalls, they were located directly behind the kitchen, and they were quite loud. I sprang to my feet, ran to the door at the top of the stairs. This will end right now, I thought. As I opened the door, a wispy figure of a middle-aged woman scooted by me into the kitchen, where she soon vanished. That afternoon, I checked with a longtime resident again about the prior occupants of that house. The building inspector informed me that a woman fitting the description had lived there about 20 years earlier. She died in a plane crash a few miles west of town. So they go looking for a new house again. Then I received a phone call from a local car mechanic that had moved into our prior residence. He stated he'd heard about our experiences, that he and his family had recently moved in and was having some strange experience. What kind, I asked. He stated he had placed their three-month-old child in a playpen in a side bedroom. When he entered the room some 20 minutes later to check on the baby, he found it crawling around on the floor outside of the pen. How could that happen? I don't know, he responded. What should I do, he asked. Move, I said. Move now.
Right.
Submitted by Don Avery.
Yeah, good one, Don. Well, there are a lot of houses that are perennially occupied with non-humans, and we're getting just a taste of some of that now. I guess, you know, the people don't actually, they don't have to die or expire or pass in the house itself. They have to be somehow connected to it, and they apparently find their way
right
to it in a spiritual sense and hang around there.
Right. Now, the one thing that I know we've discussed before, people say, why are so many cemeteries haunted? Well, in point of actual fact, if you begin to calculate the number of ghosts in cemeteries, it's really very few, and it stands to reason. Now, in this story that I just read, the woman had died in an airplane accident, but she's seen in the home that she loved, where she spent her time. That's where a ghost is likely to appear, where the essence of a prior human is likely to appear, because they loved the place. They felt comfortable. No one, living or dead, feels comfortable in the graveyard. So it, really, the sightings are, I mean, it's,
right,
it's probably a lot of expectation, you know, when you go into a graveyard, oh, there are going to be ghosts there and so forth. So when you really calculate the number of actual cases and investigated, but it seems as though, you know, beginning paranormal research groups, they always start in the cemetery. And probably the only shocks they receive is when they bump into each other.
I would think that would be shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
but it stands to reason, doesn't it?
Well, of course.
I mean, you're going to see ghosts, yeah, in the place.
Logical, common sense, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, again, I want to bring up the fact that we have so many wonderful ghost stories, real ghost stories, that why don't we put them in a book?
Indeed.
Can you do it?
I know we're coming up fast on a break now. And again, there's some comments for discussion that I'd like to put forward when we come back on the stories. There's a certain commonality in some of them that I think is very interesting.
Right. Oh, I agree. I think these could be a wonderful Steiger book. These are extraordinary stories.
Well, these and in past years, we've had some extraordinary stories over the years.
Endless supply.
This would be excellent, you know, true ghost stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they are.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
Indeed. And many of them very well written, and you can feel the emotion in so many of them.
It's all there. I mean, oh, yeah, it's very thick. You can almost cut it with a knife.
He sees this woman in her bridal dress.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking at first probably, you know, there's some tragedy behind this, and he approaches the woman and gets nearer and nearer, and then she disappears. No one else in the cemetery, no cars, nothing. How else would you explain that other than an apparition?
I totally agree. There really is no other explanation. Now, it would be interesting if some of these people were to turn on tape recorders when they're not home, or digital recorders, and try to catch some EVP in a haunted house like that, or a haunted situation. Often,
well, that's
happens.
A much better situation than standing out in the where you think a haunting is and saying, "Are you there? Are you there?"
Oh, yeah.
And holding the tape recorder up.
Yeah. Looks a little silly to people passing by. All right,
yes,
very good.
Yes,
hold on.
Silly when you stop to think of it.
Yeah. We'll come right back with Hour 3 in just a few.